Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Cause they giving you the latest on everything on your playlist. This bet the safest from basements to greatness. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ram. Might think you fly, but ain't nice as my guys. Got eyes on the prize. So like and subscribe. We back in the booth. I think that they gon' eat this up. The ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain. We have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
Bang. Bang, bang. Bang, 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 bang. Welcome back, everybody. You in the video game gang. Welcome to another episode of Video Game Bang Podcast. Your man truly, yours truly, your human being truly. Skip and Tosh is in the house.
Yo,
appreciate Skip and everybody Tosh. Joining us.
Round of applause.
What's up? Yeah. You hear all the clapping, you hear all the applause. I'm not here by myself. I always got the video game gang with me. And you heard that, man. My man, Corey Vincent in the house. How's it going, Corey? What's up, my man?
Oh, man. I'm what you call vibing. That's what the kids are calling it, vibing. I'm just trying to get through the year. I've decided that, you know what? The world sucks. It's time for Christmas decorations. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going. It's Christmas in my mind already. We're just going to get through 2020. GG.
One of those people, like you don't even wait till after Thanksgiving. You are already putting up Christmas decorations for real, bro.
I always wait. I've always been a very outspoken, like, Christmas doesn't start, but 2020, we're in unprecedented times, and so it is time to break the mold, change it, bring a little Christmas cheer early. I encourage everybody to do the same. And but yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm It's hard to do video game podcasts with all the stuff going on in the world, but you know what? The world needs this right now. When I put my shoes on, when I put this hat on, when I put on the hoodie of power to do this podcast, I was thinking the world needs the bang, and that's what we're going to do tonight.
The world definitely needs the bang, brother. You know what? I can't disagree with you there. You won me over with that. In 2020, we can use more holiday cheer a little bit earlier. We can use more bang. Speaking of bang, Lexi coming through with the Butterfinger bang. What's good, Lexi? Tell me what's going on.
Okay,
hold on. Screen.
Wait, I get to cut in. I get to cut in real quick. If you are just listening to the audio version of the podcast, you are not getting justice done to you. You need to watch us on twitch.tv/videogame_bang because Lexi looks like a walking billboard for Butterfinger. She has a Butterfinger beanie, a Butterfinger hoodie. What is happening with you?
So first of all, you guys should say hello to our guests because Butterfinger is in the lobby.
Let's go. Watching,
so thank you for joining us on our show this week, Butterfinger. And also thank you for bringing joy to all the gamers in the world, especially in the season of 2020. We appreciate it. But let me tell you guys how you can get like me with the Butterfinger crew.
Is that what you call yourselves?
I mean, we're gonna figure out what our name is, okay? I know they're my BFF. We're gonna figure out our little code name, you know, and I'll get back to you.
Your BFF,
but for now,
your
we're Butterfinger, the
Butterfinger Brigade is what they're saying.
BFF Butterfinger. Okay, that's gonna be the new trend. That's the new hashtag. Skip created it. It's copyrighted.
What has been your thing with Butterfinger? Because we talked about him on last week's show, and then I don't know what happened. The universe connected you. You guys became friends on social media. I really don't understand your relationship with Butterfinger.
So I love Butterfinger. It's been one of my favorite candies, like, since I was a kid.
Okay, stop selling, like, and tell us how you became best friends with Butterfingers. Butterfingers sell themselves, okay? They're delicious. You don't need to sell Butterfingers. Like, but why are you best friends?
Friends, I think, had a tweet, and I think I said something clever, snarky back to Butterfinger, and they said something back to me, and I was like, can we be friends? And we became best friends.
That's as easy as it is.
I want to cry. Super excited. But no, but I need people to know how to be on the Butterfinger crew. Okay. If you want to be on the Butterfinger crew, make sure to purchase 2 Butterfinger bars. And you can unlock exclusive Halo emblems by uploading your receipt.
You know, we need to clear. We need to make a. We need to make a rule on BGB on
and
how
you have
we
to go. Wait. You have to go to gamewithbutterfinger.com.
Oh my god!
And upload your receipt to get the emblems, and then while you're there, go ahead and enter to win that Xbox One.
This sounds like a pyramid scheme.
Seriously,
this has, right?
This has pyramid scheme written all over it.
You sponsor one person, you sponsor the whole show.
This sounds like Herbalife.
Hey, Butterfinger, you heard them. Help out our show. This is our crew. Give them some love. Send them some Butterfinger.
Well, you know
what? We're all friends. But we're already friends. We love you guys.
This episode is officially sponsored by Butterfinger.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, Curtis, for the Butterfinger intros. I think we could... The cast intros brought to you by Butterfinger. We have one guy left. We have one person left. We can't let Butterfinger have more airtime than our fourth guest.
I don't know how much of Kyle
I'm okay
is
with
left.
It.
I think
I'm all right.
I think
I'll
he's drowned
back,
in
I'll
nougat.
Take a back seat.
I honestly should have grabbed my Butterfinger and just ate it. Like,
I'm surprised you're
like
not. I'm surprised she didn't just take a bite in the middle of the podcast and be like, that's delicious.
Chocolatey undertones.
Wow.
All right. Well, now you've heard his voice. He is alive. He has not drowned in chocolate and whatever that delicious stuff is in the middle of Butterfingers. Kyle Wynn, what's up, my man? How's it hanging? How's it falling?
It's weird. I don't know. It's the Christmas thing is freaking me out because it's like now that Corey brought it up, I'm like, shoot, like I got to start thinking about that. Like,
yeah,
is this the year I get like a big tree or do I keep with the little fake tree because I'm in a tiny apartment? Like, I got Christmas shopping I got to do because if I forget about it, it's going to be like December 21st. And I'm like, all right, let's go to Target. Hopefully they have something. So, that's the realization now. And it's like. It's weird, man.
I like
it's
how
weird.
You're pretending that you do anything these days besides just play Fallout. I mean, I work from home. I have Steam open all the time. And, I peruse. And listen. Every goddamn time I look to see what my friends are playing, it's you on Fallout. Do you even, turn the game off?
Yeah, to sleep. Bro, I found myself. I had to, stop and played some Apex Legends today because I'm like, bro, I'm going to burn myself out of this game. I've played, my latest save, which I started, 2 weeks ago. Is already on 48 hours of playtime. I need to stop. But now I have an excuse to keep playing because I'm possibly pretty much basically joining a team to who's making a mod, and so I'm gonna be doing stuff. I'm gonna be working on a mod, so I won't be directly playing, but I'll still be working on it. So that'll be cool, something to do until my harmonics thing kicks off a little bit. So. Got to keep busy and not play Fallout, instead mod Fallout, so whatever.
I got to thank Skip for recommending a comic book. Ever since Oblivion Comics and Coffee left our lives, there's been a comic book-shaped void in my heart. And then, just like Santa Claus, I get a ring on my doorbell. You know what actually gave you away is I have a Comcast, and as soon as you walked up, your phone connected to my network. And it was Skip phone attached. I was like, what? Is Skip here? And I started what's going on? And then ding dong, I run out to the door and there's just a bag of comic books. And then I get a text saying hey, I'm picking these up in 3 days, but you're on the clock. Read these. And I read the one Firepower, which was the prelude to the new Robert Kirkman project. And damn, that was good. But you said you expected I would like that. And then I felt like it was a challenge. Why do you think I would have liked that so much?
Off rip. You own a pair of Jordan 1s, and that's the first thing that we see from the sensei guy is his red Jordan 1s in the book.
Yeah.
So out the gate, that, and then also the Karate Kid, trope and the whole thing of that and just martial arts. I mean, and plus it's just, Robert Kirkman, at his finest, doing things really simple, You know, letting Chris Samney tell a lot of the story with you know, so many pages of no words, just lovely art storytelling. So, I think the book is an easy one for everybody to get into. It's pretty open for everybody, all ages as well. And it's just a load of fun, man. Like, yeah. It's just really good. So I figured there were some things that you would adjust. I mean, it had an old iPod in it. You always talking about Zoom, so I figured that would like get you pissed off a little bit, the whole Zoom iPod war.
The character, it's Kirkman, which if people are listening, you're like, oh, you've heard that name before. It's the Walking Dead guy, essentially. And he's been doing Walking Dead forever and then kind of just ended it on a surprise whim, it felt like, last year. He kind of threw everyone a curveball and just ended the series. I still watch that show. I'm a Kirkman fan. And it delivered. And it was like you said, it was so easy to pick up. The characters were so cool, like the sensei dude with the Jordans and knowing all the pop culture references. And then a main character you could get behind. And it's got love, romance, time jumps, a dragon. It's got everything you could want. So I highly recommend it. And knowing Kirkman, in whatever he touches, yeah, he has that Midas touch right now. So this will probably be a TV show somewhere. Like, it's going to be on Netflix or something. It's going to be amazing. Jackie Chan will play the sensei. It'll pop off. But thank you for recommending that. And it was a good read. Just wanted to give that a shout out.
You're very welcome.
That was my that was my comic review presented by Butterfinger for the week.
There you go. Now you were also one of those people that were, you know, kind of, you know, almost wooed or at least interested in this whole Twitter thing that's going on. Fleets? What? Fleets? For real? What is this?
Lexi, Lexi, I'll pass the ball to you. You are you're the Twitter specialist. What's going on with Fleets?
Oh my gosh. So Twitter decided to just drop Fleets on us this week out of nowhere. And I am so confused. So essentially, like, being a social media manager, you know, you have to learn each social platform. You have to be one with each social platform. You have to be, you know, the social platform. Yeah. And Twitter is like my favorite one. And I really love Twitter for the fast-paced news. How fast it just goes by. Like, if you didn't catch it, then maybe I'll tweet it later. But for the most part, that might be the only tweet you get. Like, it's there, you know. And then they dropped Fleets, which is like Instagram stories on Twitter. So I have a problem with this.
What's your problem?
I still love Twitter, but I have a problem. My problem is that if I want Insta stories, I'm going to go to Instagram because I do like Instagram. I don't have Snapchat, even though I know how to use it. I have Facebook, but when Facebook got clogged with everything from Instagram, I don't really go on Facebook like that other than for work, you know? So Twitter was like my place where I like loved how the social media was ran, the algorithm, how it looked, the performance. And now they added Fleets and I'm just thrown off. Like, I just don't understand. Why do we have stories on Twitter? And this is what gets me. This is what gets me as a social media manager. Like, people are sharing their post from Twitter on the Fleets. If I want to read your post, you better believe I'm going to see it in the notifications or in the timeline. I'm not going to go to the Fleets to see your story. Like, I've been waiting for someone to do something interesting or something different with Fleets just so I could see, like, a different perspective of what they're thinking. Because on Insta story, you know, it's like now they have Reels, which is TikTok. So essentially, right. I don't want Twitter to turn into Instagram and then into Twitter Talk. Like, I just want Twitter to be Twitter. So
just be yourself.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Be yourself.
It seems like a lot of them are kind of getting like homogenized and kind of bleeding over into each other. Like, Instagram was like the place where you take artsy pictures, and then it turned into much more of a social platform. Snapchat was made for like basically just short messages, and then it kind of moved into other things too. And Twitter was
mainly
just
dick
about...
pics. Mainly dick pics on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll call that what it is. But like at the same point, like, Twitter was just about like short characters, and like that was its kind of everything had a gimmick, and everything's kind of like, okay, well, they're doing this well, like, oh, maybe we should do that too. And then, you know, you're everyone's losing their identity, you know, everyone's trying to be like everyone else in class. You just gotta be yourself. Just be yourself, Twitter.
I think
be like Miles. Be yourself.
I think with the with the fleets, from a human person perspective, it's cool. I went and I did some nerd research, and I wanted to see what Twitter wanted us to use this, because they must have had something in mind when they gave us this feature. Mm-hmm. And what they wanted it to be was that they found most people with Twitter accounts, or a large majority, don't tweet at all. And that's a problem. They go there just to retweets. They want people to engage with the platform more. And one of the reasons they don't do it is because of the pressure of a tweet. Like, those things are around forever. And you've seen what a tweet can do to a person's career, you know, with the 4 years, 5 years, 6 years down the road. And so they created fleets as a way for people to take the pressure off of tweeting and just throw whatever thought you have on there. Those fleeting thoughts.
Those the hottest of takes, the possibly riskiest.
Yeah, your hot takes.
But that's the thing. That's what Twitter is. It's the same thing. So essentially now they're like, oh, but up here, up in the sky part of Twitter, it doesn't matter. Like, it'll just go away. But technically it doesn't. It
floats away.
It just floats away up here. But down here, if you're below this line, it stays forever. I'm like, no, it all stays somewhere. Like, it's going to stay somewhere. So don't play me or trick me and tell me it's not. I don't understand.
From a person who runs a brand account perspective, the frustration, or the reason I don't care about it too much, is at this point, there's no CTAs. There's no call to actions. The only thing you can do, you can't even, you know, link a hashtag and have people find it through that way. So the only call to action is send a direct message. And when you have a brand account that's already flooded with DMs every day of 8-year-olds who want to join your esports team, you don't really want to give someone another opportunity to say, hey, DM me, you know? You know, if there were some swipe ups to get to our YouTube videos, or ways to, you know, a few more tools to make cooler content, I'd be maybe down with it. And, you know, maybe they'll get there. But as far as I go now, I've not really too much interest in this thing.
It's all fleeting. It's all fleeting, fam. Well, speaking of technology, we're going to jump right into our gaming news for so much of what's been going on in this week, especially like the larger stories. Console shortages abound. I don't know about you all, but I still don't have a next-gen console, and it certainly isn't for lack of trying either. Gamers across the globe are upset that the short supply of PS5s and Xbox Series X's and S's means that they will have to wait to get their hands on their preferred console. But what if this was all part of Sony and Microsoft's plan and strategy all along? Shannon Liao at CNN Business explains that analysts have different theories as to why supplies are selling out so quickly, and chief among them is that the units are being, quote, purposefully limited, unquote. Kyle Wynn, are they withholding those consoles from my man? What's going
bro,
on?
Bro, this is like meta marketing's talk, and this is like not my realm at all. I feel like there's probably a reason. Because I feel like how many times have you launched this console, and how many metrics do you have as a company as to what your expected user base will be after a month, after 3 months, after 9 months, whatever? You probably know within like a pretty narrow margin how many people are going to buy your console, so you should probably have that many ready. But there's definitely I would 100% believe if it was a limiting the total number of supply to raise demand, so it's hyped up more and feels more exclusive, and people are, you know, gonna keep buying them for a longer period of time, I guess. But I think you also run the risk of, like, I just don't care now. If I couldn't get one at release, I just don't really care anymore. Whatever. I'm like, if I can't get one, I'm not gonna play. I'll just keep playing my PS4 or whatever. So I don't know. It's tricky, but it's also like not my realm at all. I don't know marketing or the secret underground supply demand fabrication world, Illuminati.
Well, you hit on something. Like, you know, apathy can definitely come up, especially people so interested in something and then trying so hard and then you know, only, you know, to find out that they're failing, you know, that excitement can hit the antithesis and then it can turn into carelessness. Lexi, are the consoles something that you still care about trying to procure before the holiday season? Have you jumped on that train of not caring until after the fact? Like, how are you feeling now at this point, kind of seeing how things have played out?
I want a console, but I'm like, I don't know about you, but no, I've been wanting a console since like the day, like day one of pre-orders, but I haven't got a hand on it, you know. At this point, I'm just like, you know, it is what it is. if we have to wait, we have to wait, kind of thing. I don't know. At this point, like every single time they give you hope, it's like, oh, they're back in stock. Next minute, they're not. Like, you know, so I'm like, stop playing with my heart. that's my two cents. Like, but no, I also understand on the back end, like with shipment and distribution and stuff, but I'll just wait it out until, you know, I think that might be the best choice, especially for people who are looking for something like that. I mean, honestly, like try a Switch. They're in stock. Try some Super Smash, Zelda, you know, try the Nintendo route for a little bit. And then, I mean, I don't have a Switch. So like, there's people out there that don't. So they would want that too, or at least to try it. So maybe Nintendo have like an up on them this holiday season, especially for kids and parents who are trying to get their kids something, some type of entertainment. And they might not have that right now at home. They're going to go straight for the Switch because that's what's there on the shelf. That's what's left. So, or PCs, but I mean, you have to think about the demographic for parents. I don't know if they'll like get a PC. And also, PC prices are up right now because everybody's working from home and everybody wants a laptop or everybody wants to build their PC. So it's just wavering that. I feel like Nintendo have a up this season just because automatically because of the distribution of the Xboxes and PlayStations at the moment.
Yeah, they had too much of a down season. I mean, they still have, you know, the number one selling console across the previous generation of consoles. Corey, would you just be satisfied at this point just getting one of those Xbox fridges and calling it a day?
I don't know anymore. I think it's just the 2020 marketing thing to do. I don't know whether it's companies doing it intentionally or not, or whether it's like you guys were saying, everybody's just home now. And so there's a lot more people looking to buy and spend, you know, money that they're not spending on gas and other stuff. So there's something going on, man. It's frustrating, from shoes to technology to graphics card, like anything that you could imagine wanting now. It's like there's this new game where you got to be up at 6 a.m., you know, and refreshing the page and trying to get your reserve on. And it's just not my scene. I lucked into the PS5 I'm about to get next week. And to be honest, I think subliminally the pressure thing did work. Knowing that they're not readily available was my determining factor, because I knew I was going to get one eventually. I'd rather have one sooner than later. So I sold some of my Robinhood stocks and I was like, all right, now's the time, I'll do it. And so I really was a sucker in that respect. They're hard to get. I had an opportunity, so I jumped on it. It's annoying, but it's just the world we live in right now. And I don't know if it'll ever get better.
I mean, you could always not crack the seal on that puppy and double down your money. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
No, but I'm trying to be a better person, Curtis. You know, I've had a redemption arc through the course of this show. A former Corey would have probably pursued those endeavors, but I couldn't do that knowing. And the guy who's selling it to me at retail, you know, could have done the same to me, you know, but he was like, I'd rather just see someone get some enjoyment out of it and stuff. And that, you know, it just feels like such a shady thing to do. If you're that guy, go fuck yourself.
All's fair in love and console wars, my friend. Yes, unlike sir. Y'all, I do have, or some of y'all, I do have a Switch I'm taking care of there. And that's all the gaming needs that I have. I'd already, you know, come to terms with the fact that I'm not going to get into the whole Russian rant and whatnot of everything going on with the consoles. On the contrary, or I should say along those lines, I still did become a victim of it in some way. I was one of those people that was actually looking to get my little stubby hands on one of those reissued Mario Brothers Game & Watch tiny little pocket deals, because you know I'm a Nintendo ho, but lo and behold, limited editions, and when I go to grab mine, nowhere to be found, and now I would have to pay aftermarket prices to get it, and I'm not playing that game. As much as I love the Game & Watch and everything it represents, and that perfect little D-pad that they came up with that rolled over to the original NES that I love so much, just couldn't bring myself to do it. So I guess we're all, minus Corey, I guess we're all being affected by what's going on with these.
I don't know how you feel, Skip, about weathering the COVID storm out there, but I had the Game & Watch on my Christmas list. I thought that was a sick little device. And actually, no, I didn't put it on my, I put it on my wish list because a bunch of my family was telling me updates. I was running through. I was like, oh, that Game & Watch thing's pretty dope. And then I was going to add it. And then I saw, I was like, why is this thing like $300? And so I didn't put it on the list because I don't want my family to get ripped off. I put like a custom note that was like, if you could find this at retail, it would be cool, but please don't spend stupid amounts of money on this. Through my search, I found that the Target in our neighborhood, and I went there to verify because I had to go get some groceries. They had a fat stack of those things. So if you want one, brother, they are available in our own neighborhood in mass quantities.
Well, I'll talk to you more about that in the post show.
Yes, sir.
But while you got the mic, why don't you go ahead and take the next topic?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, the next one has to do with civil rights movement, so no one here is more qualified, I guess, than the... So today's lesson is how to piss everyone off at once. And this is coming from a master of making people angry. Tim Sweeney, the CEO of Epic Games, he made a boo-boo, basically. You know, we've all been invested in the war going on right now between Apple and Fortnite Epic. And it's kind of bled over into Microsoft, too. And there's a big lawsuit. There was the video that Fortnite put out that was like ripping on the old classic 80s Apple commercial. Well, you know, he was feeling himself a little too much, this Tim Sweeney. He's really lost in the sauce of this battle. And he got into an interview and he compared what's going on right now between his company and Apple to the civil rights movement, of all things. Obviously, you know, big movement in the 60s and 70s. A lot more, I would say, on the line, at, you know, during that time in history. It's obviously a very short-sighted and deft choice of words, and it appears to be getting even worse as Fortnite is consistently criticized for stealing prominent dance moves from creators of color and adding them to the game without any kind of payment. So, yeah, not a good look, I mean, for Tim Sweeney. I personally looked at it and just thought that at all. I was like, Tim Sweeney, like, honey, you're really into this. Obviously, you know, this means a lot to you. There's a lot of money at stake, but come on, dude, what are you doing comparing, kind of a frivolous technology based money making, you know, endeavor to human rights? Let's put it that way. What do you guys think, Lexi?
I mean, I didn't know about the story until you just told me, because obviously I was under a rock all day. I mean, I was just working. It was just, I felt like I was under a rock, but I have no comment to this. I don't know.
It just seems silly.
Yeah.
Well,
I have no comment.
You know, we don't have to beat him up any more than the internet has already done it.
Yeah, that's fair.
He definitely took his lashings on Twitter. It's just one of those things for future references. If you ever find yourself in a situation, you know, just look beyond what's going on right now. Your battles are your battles. We don't need to draw comparisons to you know, sensationalize your court battles. You know, I think all of us are hoping Epic wins the thing, but this is not really going to score you any more brownie points than you needed. So that's a, we'll put a pin on that one.
Bursting that bubble on into the next one. Now, of course, this is something that I have to talk about. This is the part of my Nintendo hoism that I don't enjoy very much. As someone who loves the brand, Gunpei Yokoi, Iwata, you know, I mean, so many incredible people that have contributed to the gaming world, gaming culture, gaming history, and where we're at today over at Nintendo. It hurts my heart when it comes to one of my favorite games, Super Smash Brothers, and Nintendo puts a cease and desist on a tournament getting ready to happen. Now, Nintendo has killed this year's Big House tournament. The Big House is one of the largest Super Smash Brothers tournaments on the calendar any given year. This year, due to the pandemic, the tournament was to take place online in order to keep everybody socially distanced and safe. Melee, which is the old GameCube version of Super Smash Brothers, has no inherent online capabilities whatsoever. That problem was solved when earlier this year, a fan-made PC program called Slippy was created. Slippy also allows for seamless online gameplay for Melee and has been used in a few other tournaments before now. Nintendo sent a cease and desist letter to the Big House because of the use of Slippy, and the tournament has now been canceled. The Melee community has rallied on social media, and with the rallying cry of hashtag free Melee. This is not the first time Nintendo has actively tried to stifle the Melee competitive scene. In 2013, all of us should never forget, they tried to prevent the game from being featured in Evo after the community raised nearly $100,000 for cancer research for their entrance into the tournament. Nick DiRazio at Envin Global has the full story. Corey, what the hell is Nintendo doing?
I Nintendo don't know, Curtis. I have no clue what Nintendo is doing. You know, let it go, man. Melee came out so long ago. To my knowledge, there's no way to rebuy it. It hasn't been remastered for online capabilities. You know, Big House is a legendary tournament. You know, this is it's already been such a downer of a year. You got to have, you're the number one selling console. You got no, just leave us alone, man. The Melee community specifically, who's been championing this game for a decade now, what is has been so loving? Their life is this game. It's built stars. You know, it's changed lives. It's been such an accepting community for people of all different backgrounds and creeds. Like, Smash is an amazing scene with wonderful people, and they've done so much for you without even you trying. How many other games would cut off their arms to have as dedicated as a fan base playing your game? It's so rare. Everybody, when they create a game that's competitive, they want it to be esports. You had it happen without even trying, and this is how you repay them. It's such a fucking bummer. Hashtag free Melee, hashtag Butterfinger. That's all I got to say.
Bam, drop a bomb on him. Now, here's my thing. From the inside, insiders, people who have experience with the community, played in tournaments, gone to that, supported people going to tournaments, all of that stuff, we're a little closer to it, but I always think about a story like this coming across someone who, you know, someone's feed who isn't really in, who knows about Nintendo and likes Nintendo, but then finds out that they do things like this. Lexi, how does a story like this, when it comes across your feed, or, you know, I'm saying, you catch wind of it, how does that affect your perception of Nintendo and their treatment of the gaming community?
As a fellow ex-FGCer, I understand, like, how people are feeling around this. I mean, I get it, but I don't know. Like, do you think the reason they did it was because of like COVID and stuff. I don't know. I try to look on the bright side of everyone. Even though I know there's darkness. Okay?
And that's why we love
We're
you.
We're gonna get deep.
I don't think there's but, any redeem like I was
I don't think there's no redeeming from this,
I
mean, $100,000 for cancer research, yeah, and they cut their legs out from under
that. Bad look.
It's horrible, especially with the PR perspective of it. It's horrible. It's really bad. It's like me saying like, oh, we're gonna throw this thing and we're gonna help these kids for Christmas, and then I'm like, nope. Not today. Maybe next year. It's horrible.
You always follow the dollar, and even in this case, like what dollar are you losing out on? You don't even sell this game anymore. You have to buy it aftermarket at garage sales and shit like that. Like, I can't even make sense of it financially. Why you'd be upset that people are playing an online mod homage to your classic amazing game that you don't even sell right now?
And I think the other thing that's important too is like you're not giving them a ROM to play emulators against each other. Like, they're all playing on legit copies of the game, from my understanding too. So you're not losing out on any amount of money. You're only losing out on money from people realizing that you're greedy and that you don't want to help your scene out. Because like, out of all the esports scenes I know of who like hate their developer and publisher the most, like from not giving them the light of day, is Nintendo and like the Smash community. I'm just constantly hearing about like, they don't care about us. We're like doing everything to keep these games alive, but they don't want to keep them alive. And so that's just like, I can't fathom a reason for why you would not want your esports scene to thrive. Like, from every other developer, they're like pumping money into their esports to try to, you know, keep their game alive with the esports scene. And then Nintendo's actively doing the opposite and not even making money off of that while destroying their community. It's just such an... I would love to hear the actual reason of like why this is better for them in the long run.
Right. And, you know, again, that's kind of what one of the things I was going to ask you, Kyle, because I know a bit of why. I mean, well, we know where the issue came in, right? They weren't doing anything for in-person offline tournaments or anything like that. But it was because of the use of this Slippy software. Obviously, it's this thing. Regarding the Slippy software for the online play that they don't like. Now, let us remind people of a few things. Nintendo is that, think of that one person in your life that is a control freak. The one person in your life that wants to control things so bad that even if it's something that they would just let go of, it would actually be beneficial for them, but they can't relinquish control. So they affect that thing and it actually comes back to bite them in the butt. That's Nintendo. They put the kibosh on all of the tournaments for, gosh, I'm forgetting the Melee mod that they had created because people didn't like Brawl, and they wanted things to be more like Melee, but they wanted it updated. So the community had created this software based off of Melee, and they had been playing that at tournaments for a long time. They put the shutdown on Project M, and they don't like it when you show them up. I'm going to be completely honest. They're fine with people doing online tournaments with their terrible net code that they have now because it's their net code. But if you create something that's better performing than what they will allow, they want to shut you down. They want to cut you off. And the Slippy software was exactly the thing that they're trying to go after. Now, someone asked in the chat, someone had made it something, I think it was a Thorn Rain. They were like, well, you know, but if they allow someone to circumvent their copyright on this game, it could open them up to losing future copyright claims on other titles, which is not a bad point. But at the same time, a copyright is still a copyright. Whether someone circumvents it or not, if you never gave them the license to do it and you took them to court, that's always going to stand. But the main thing for them is they just don't want to be one-upped. They don't want someone to make something better than them and then show it off in the world, because it looks really bad when a trillion-dollar company allows people who's just in their rooms wanting to create something better than them to actually do it And then that happens. They make no money off this game anymore. Corey has said they don't even sell these consoles anymore. It's done. And literally all it does is make people happy to be on Nintendo stuff to where they will go and, hey, yeah, I'll purchase this because, you know, I'm into the Nintendo life and all this stuff. So Nintendo cutting out the legs from under the gaming community on something that they don't even make money off of anymore, long gone, high and dry, to me just doesn't make any sense at all. But that's Nintendo for you. Don't expect it to change. Expect it to continue. They fully support the, gosh, how am I forgetting the game, the paint game?
Oh, Splatoon?
Splatoon.
They fully support that because they control it. But the flip side of the Splatoon community is, it's not a very big community.
I was gonna say, there's a Splatoon community.
Yeah.
It's super small, but Nintendo has more respect and pays it more attention and does more for it than it even does for Smash these days because they fully have it under control. It's sad to see, but it's the reality of how Nintendo operates as a company. They own it. We can't do much about it, but deal with it.
I think
probably last year or something.
Yeah, yeah, they did something with Evo where it wasn't even like showed or something. I think Nintendo, yeah, if they've been anything, it's consistent. So it's not like, oh my God, this is so surprising.
Yeah,
no, it's just Nintendo doing Nintendo things. And if you want to watch an amazing YouTube channel that I like, The Gaming Historian, you go back and you watch his episode on Nintendo versus Sega, Nintendo versus Atari, Nintendo versus Blockbuster, Nintendo versus anybody trying to make a dollar. Nintendo don't want food in your mouth. They want food in their mouth, and they will go at great lengths to make sure that you cannot infringe on their copyright, whether it's super proprietary chips that they put in there that, you know, with secret codes, and it's nutty. Watch those videos because they're very eye-opening.
Extremely, extremely telling. Well, off of the Nintendo boat and over into some esports talk, some fun stuff, very interesting. The new NRG facility is alive and popping. NRG Esports has announced the opening of their new facility called The Castle. NRG describes The Castle as a cutting-edge space for influencers and creatives to connect and enjoy a one-of-a-kind installations, elevating gaming tournaments and content creation. The NRG Castle will invite guests to immerse themselves in colorful exhibits to play, collaborate, and create in. Todd Spangler at Variety had the full story, but we got the inside scoop.
We know money. Someone.
We know a few people. See money. I mean, what do I got to do? Do I got to like put on knight's armor? Do I got to slay a dragon? You know, do I got to be a frog and be kissed by a princess? What do I have to do to get into the castle?
Listen, man, I've been at this company for so long, and I used to try and shoehorn stories in, but now they just write themselves. Like, that's a sign of how big this company has gotten. This thing is nuts. And it all is the brain baby of this dude they brought in to the org named Grady Raines, who's our executive producer. They kept this close to the chest, man. Like, we're a small team, but this was like our spec ops. These dudes been grinding on this thing in the shadows for like the last year. I got to go out and record some content with The Shock before COVID, and it was just literally an empty warehouse. I got to go there, and you know, they're like, "Oh yeah, I'll go to the castle." And it was like, "The castle? This is just a warehouse, man. What is this?" And The Shock had their little area, and they had a cool office thing and a little mini fridge. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I see the vision. This is crazy. What is this? And then sure enough, the first time I got to see everything was through the walkthrough video that they just posted on the NRG YouTube, which if you got some time, damn, like there's content houses that people do. There's team houses. There's all this stuff. They built basically Rob Dyrdek's fantasy factory for video games. They got like a giant video game, and they use legitimate like LA set designers, like the same people who do The Voice came in and they did a section. Wow. And the whole thing is like a giant like Hollywood set. You walk in, there's they have a rage room that looks like the Oval Office. They have like this double decker slide couch thing that has TVs built into it. They got soda, Mountain Dew, I think Game Fuel comes out of the water fountains, like legitimately.
What?
This guy Grady I work with has been, he's like Willy Wonka for video games. Like legitimately he is the Willy Wonka of gaming content, and he's on the blow up. Like before he was, you know, known for making you know, viral content on Instagram for Fortnite, but he's really evolved into like an artist at this point. And so it's been really cool.
He is
definitely an artiste. And when Grady has a vision, man, that dude goes for it. And one of the most inspirational people I've gotten to work with. I've learned so much in the last couple of weeks. So it was really cool to see this launch happen. And yeah, man, once this thing's over, you don't need no armor. You got me. We'll just roll down to there and have some fun in the castle, dude.
I can't wait. I'm trying to joust. You know what I'm saying? We got one of them rules. I'm trying to be like the Black Knight.
I don't know.
Martin Lawrence, man.
Yeah.
As long as you have y'all some Butterfingers down there, you know. Oh, my God.
A snack. There is a snack.
Did you sign a contract, Lexi? What, like, is it like a 6 mentions per show or else they don't pay you?
Gotta keep up with that quota.
Yeah, right.
You gotta.
Don't you lay a finger.
45 minutes have passed, all right? Have y'all mentioned about how good Butterfinger is?
You know, what's crazy, though, too, is, like, we are looking for sponsorships. So if the Butterfinger social media person is still in here and they want a piece of it.
Get you a Butterfinger wall.
The Butterfinger Energy's Butterfinger Castle. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It writes itself. They have, like, a giant snack section, too. Like, you walk in and you see it in the tour. There's, like, a section that's just all, like, snacks. You just rip them off the wall, basically. It's an incredible facility. If you go to the YouTube and just watch it, it's definitely the most ambitious, crazy thing I've seen and gotten to be a very, very, very small part of.
If you had problems with 13-year-olds DMing you on the Twitter about, like, yo, I want to go to the castle, like, if you didn't have issues before, now you have even more 13 to 17-year-olds be like, yo, let me go to this castle. I got some sick 360 headshots with the
My Discord DMs have been a mess since that castle was announced.
But like it's very much like a different, like, and maybe it speaks to the type of person, like, where I am in my life right now, but like that doesn't appeal. Like, it's very, like, it seems a little too young for me as a vibe. Like, sick, but like I think it's a little bit below my, like, my age range, I guess. I don't know, maybe I'm just not into the Fortnite world as much, but it seems much more guided and just for, like, the deep, like, content creators world. But
oh yeah,
it's
meant to be over the top and wild and zany and bright and stroby and all.
You gotta get a foam pit. Tell them to get a foam pit. I'll go if there's a foam pit.
What? You're a foam guy?
No, get a foam because you can jump into it and, like, skateboard in or zip line in or something.
That's actually pretty badass.
There you go. So yeah, see?
Yeah.
Grady will have it by the next episode. Yeah, it'll already be in there. Grady will have added it. It's gonna be in there.
The Butterfinger foam.
I just see a whole epidemic of, like, all these, like, teenagers going missing, and we've seen a spike in the increase of teenage runaways, and we can't figure out where they are. And then, like, that's what I'm saying. 2 weeks later,
the wall.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all gonna have to beef up security because you're gonna have a bunch of 14-year-olds hyped up on G Fuel trying to traverse the walls of the castle. They're gonna try to get over the moat.
They're trying to pickaxe it down, bro, but they don't have enough mats to build up to crank the 90s up the walls, man.
It's about to be crazy. It's
well, luckily,
so
our moat is also made out of Mountain Dew, so
that's true.
That'll work.
Oh, great. So it's going to fuel them to get across. Right?
It's going to dissolve them into
Have you seen what soda can do to a toilet bowl? Like, imagine swimming in soda for 5 minutes. Like, you'd be just bones by the time you got to the other side.
Oh,
the Mountain Dew piranhas are gonna pick their bones clean.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Well, we're far from done with the world of video games, fellow listeners. We got some gaming, something like that. Lexi, gamer awards voting guide. What is this? What is this?
So, you know, every year there's the.
Hold on, she was like, "So I was eating a Butterfinger, and I thought to myself."
Oh, I can't stop laughing. So, like Corey was saying, I was eating a Butterfinger, and then this came to mind for the Gaming Awards that's held every year. And I just thought we could, like, run through and figure out, like, our, I guess, what our thoughts are for the winners.
For the categories. And this is the...
So why don't we start from the best?
All right, I like
the
that.
The best esports team.
Okay, I'm interested.
So we have Damn One Gaming for League of Legends, Dallas Empire for Call of Duty, G2 Esports for League of Legends, and we have San Francisco Shock.
Yeah!
Look at that! If you guys have heard of them.
I know a little thing.
And we also have Team Secret for Dota. So what's y'all's predictions for sports team of the year?
Can I go first?
Yes, Corey.
I think the Dallas Empire is a no-brainer. Like, these guys are decorate. No. The San Francisco Shock, man. I've been watching... This is we got nominated for a bunch of esports awards, including Team of the Year for the San Francisco Shock, and that's going to be over this weekend. And I got my fingers crossed. You know, I think we could win that. I think we should win that with the back-to-back champions. But when I found out we were nominated for the Game Awards, Jeff Kegel's Awards, that's a big deal. Jeff Kegley is El Hombre. Like, this is the one that was on Spike. This is like the ancestor of the one that used to be on Spike TV. Like, this is a big, like, they pull out, normally, you know, before COVID, they pull out all the stops. They got Vin Diesel on the stage. Like, this is really big. Unfortunately for us and the esports scene, because it's so mainstream, they really give zero attention to these when it comes to the stage show. It's not like they're even going to give it, like, 5 minutes. Last year, it was literally, like, their C host, you know, the one warming up the crowd, who ran through them. He's like, all right, for Esport Award, we got blah, blah, blah. And they just ran through onto the next one. No acceptance speeches, no highlight package, no nothing. So all that aside, it's still really freaking cool. This one would mean a lot to me to win. I never really envisioned myself being part of a org or a team or anything that would actually be nominated for one of these awards. I've watched it, you know, since I was a kid, so... A little dream of mine. So if you can vote for this one, I mean, it's mandatory. There's no other options for any listeners to the show or the panel to choose any other teams besides this. But you guys can humor me.
Make sure to go to thegameawards.com/nominees to vote.
And scroll all the way down to the bottom.
Just vote for all of them. There's like a bunch of sick games. Like, you could just take like 5 minutes, just go boop, boop, boop all the way down. Vote 100%, you know.
Yep.
Very true.
Kyle, when who you got?
Yeah.
For what? For the... I'm not going to betray my boy Corey for esports team. I don't know.
That is the right answer.
That's the right answer.
And, like, also, I legit, like, only... the only other team I know of is Dallas Empire, because I don't really... Like, I don't even watch COD. Like, I don't watch Dota or League. Like, I just know of Dallas Empire. But, like, you know, I got to get it to Shock. It's just a... Come on.
The two-time champions. None of these other teams on here are back-to-back world champions. It's a hard fucking thing to do. I don't care what your competitive thing is, whether it's eating hot dogs or, you know, throwing watermelons. Like, I don't know what your thing is, but to win a world championship where the best in the world are competing for over $1 million to get it, like a catch a fat bag like that, you have to be on your game. And out of all the teams on this list, the only team to do that. So, I mean, come on, man.
Repeat.
Exactly.
All right. So, Curtis, I'm assuming that you're also for the Shock.
Shock the world, baby. Shock the world. You already know.
Okay.
I'm a homer. I'm biased. You know what I'm saying? Shock the world, baby. Shock them again. The repeat. Corey, two-time world champion.
Mr. Two-time. I can't reach my ring. I put my ring on the other side of the studio. I don't have it.
Oh, my God. Oh. Let's not. Corey will go get it in a heartbeat. And I also am for the Shock. I don't know the two league teams. I'm usually for like Fnatic or Cloud9, so I have no idea who they are. And I wouldn't betray Corey. So for the Shock, guys.
Let's go.
For best esports host, we have Alex Golden Boy Mendez, Alex Machine Richardson, I don't know this girl's name and would probably butcher.
She's just shocked. Yeah,
shocked.
She's got a Belgian name or something like that.
Yeah. We have Dash or James Dash Patterson and Shiver.
Shiver.
And I don't know her name either.
Or she's from either.
So, what's y'all's choice?
I gotta give it to Golden Boy. I gotta give it to Golden Boy. Always.
You would.
What? He's a cool dude.
I fucking love Golden Boy. Let me preface by saying that. I've met him many times at many events, and we're on first name basis. I love this guy. And he does everything. He does Rocket League. He does Smite.
Oh yeah.
He does Overwatch League. He does Call of Duty League. Fortnite.
Call of Duty, Halo.
Halo. He does everything. He's on an NBC TV show with The Rock. The Rock.
And he doesn't mention it ever. He never mentions that.
Yeah. But all that to say, Golden Boy, let somebody else get some food in their mouth. Please. You're the best. You're the GOAT. You've already done everything. And you will do everything in the future. You don't need no more awards, man. You're so goated. Your accolades are so insane. You should actively, I'm mad at you for not calling That's the Game fair. Awards and saying, dude, don't put me on Take the list this year. Take me out. Let somebody else
But
try.
Does he have the award from Butterfinger?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. He's probably done the Butterfinger event at least one point.
Yeah. He's for sure done. So I say give it to Shox. I've been a fan. Yeah. I think she's amazing. I'd give it to Shox just because Golden Boy wins too much.
Yeah. That's fair.
All righty. Curtis, did you have an opinion? I don't really know everyone from this panel, so.
Nope. Okay, actually, I will nominate someone who is not on the list. I'm going to nominate my man Scott Cole of the NBA 2K League. Incredible, amazing commentary. I mean, the stuff that this dude whips up off the top of his head, like, I've literally just seen him just, like, drop bars during games, and I just been like, I can't believe he just said that. Like, I know rappers that can be in the studio and take all the time they want and couldn't come up with one bar like that. And my man Scott is just dropping gems, you know what I'm saying? Like like basketball stadiums are falling out of the sky left to right. So I'm gonna say my man Scott Cole, you know what I'm saying? You count the entendres, I'll wait.
Well, you heard it from Skip, guys. Skip's going to be dropping bars next. We'll make sure to have him do a video. So moving along to the best esports game, we have Call of Duty, have Counter-Strike, have Fortnite, League of Legends, and Valorant. Which one? Corey? Thoughts?
Okay. I'm just going to run them down real quick. Call of Duty Modern Warfare had the Call of Duty League last year. Pretty successful. Mm-hmm. Did okay. Mm-hmm. I think Counter-Strike is going to always be on this list, but has had a terrible year. So that one will not win. Fortnite, it's a great game, not an esport. I'm sorry. I love it. Yep. We have some of the best players, but it's not an esport as in its purest form. League of Legends, again, kind of like Counter-Strike, but always there. And then Valorant. I like to support the up-and-comers, so I think this year Valorant should probably take it just because it's really had a glow up as far as like high-end competition. We get to see a true esport where you got Overwatch players competing with CS pros, with people who came from all sorts of
Fortnite
different games
too. A lot of ex-Fortnite people who are like, let's find a real esport, and they went to Valorant and they're crushing it there too.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, you've seen the Overwatch guys have success. Sinatra is probably went from being the best Overwatch player in the world to really probably top five like Valorant player, in my opinion. Like, he's goated over there too. So I say give it to Valorant.
I agree, and I love League of Legends.
Yeah, I'm really surprised you're going to turn your back on League.
Well, this is my thing. League is amazing. Granted, don't get it twisted, okay? But just like you said, like, Valorant had the better year, I feel. And usually, like, when it comes to the Game Awards, whenever we have the League, we have the championship, and it's, like, the hype of the year. So I would give it to Valorant for the actual sport of it, because everybody seemed very competitive on it. Skip.
I'm going to go with y'all. Valorant. Done. Next.
All right. We have the best esports event. We have Blast Premier Spring 2020 European Finals for CSGO. We have Call of Duty League Championship. We have IME CSGO. I don't know that one. Sorry. We have League of Legends World Championship. And then we have Overwatch League Grand Finals. What are you guys going for?
Well, I'll just jump right in here and say Overwatch Grand Finals. You know, I as much as I would love to, though, I do think that just due to COVID, they probably could have or should have just canceled this one altogether. Like, all the events have been kind of sullied in some capacity. I think League of Legends probably should get it because their production quality was just over the top. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like, I feel like the one part is like that whoever should win this is whoever like adapted the best. That like, listen, every single person here was dealt a shit hand. Who made the most out of it? Like, who first off navigated a way to bring their players onto a low ping environment as best as possible to have like an actual true competition while also maintaining safety? And also who like kept the production value at that same level without an audience? And like, Overwatch League did a pretty good job of that, but I think Worlds just did it. Like, I don't watch Worlds, but I like saw all the clips and the highlights of it. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty sick. Meanwhile, I can't give it to CSGO. I'm like, after Valorant's come out, I'm really not looking at CSGO anymore. Just because, like, especially for NA, like, everyone good in NA is, like, on their way out. All the best teams are kind of not good anymore, and it seems to be dying over here. Yeah. Maybe EU is still thriving, but, like, I don't know, man. I'm not really vibing with CSGO anymore.
So you're going League of Legends?
Yeah, probably going Worlds.
Always go Worlds. No, but the production quality is on point. I even watched a behind the scenes like hour video on purpose because I just love that kind of stuff. Of them like demonstrating like how they made it come to life. So for sure, like, and they did have a few people. Did have an audience. Yeah, of course they had to do mask and everything, but
yeah.
Shock the world, baby. Shock
Let's go. Yeah, you know all that shit I said about League of Legends, I'm voting as we're going. I still voted for Grand Finals Overwatch League because that's how I do, you know, that's how I get down.
History made, baby. Shock the world. Corey, two-time world champion.
This is two-time.
This is the worldwide.
They call me Senor Dos Veces.
I have spoken.
Best esports coach of the year. We have Danny Zonic from CSGO. Krusty from OWL. We have Gate Grabs from LOL from League. We have Zephyr from League, and we have Rambo from COD. Which one are you guys going with?
Well, I'll just jump right in here and say Coach Krusty, the San Francisco Shot coach, who always he's been nominated for more stuff than anybody, any of our players, probably even more than the org itself. He gets nominated all the time. But he can never catch the dub. And it's, I don't know what more
people
Krusty
on the
has to
outside
do.
Don't know. Like, that's the issue is people, like, everyone who's in the scene, like, if you ask any Overwatch League spectator, they're like, yo, this Krusty guy's literally a genius.
No,
but, like,
no,
people
explain,
outside
no,
don't know. I don't
no,
know why.
Screw
but, like,
you, Kyle, because how did he lose Coach of the Year in Overwatch League? They do their awards too, and he got snubbed again.
That was, yeah.
Yeah. He gets nominated.
Is it? Do you think it's because of popularity, like on social, like how hype they're being on social? I'm not saying he's not hype. I'm just asking because I don't know. Like, you know,
he's the most winningest, most decorated coach Overwatch has ever seen, and he lost the vote to the Shanghai Dragons coach, who's not nominated here. Like, I think that was a huge mistake on the league's part. I think the league kind of gets into their own storylines of, like, they start buying into the hype of the Shock was overrated by the time, because people were still had us at 3 or 4 in the power rankings at that point.
Yep.
And we all knew we were about to catch the huge dub and we were going to win the tournament, you know, but we just weren't getting that respect. And I started posting shit on Twitter. Like, I was like, yo, how come nobody respects the Shock? Why does everybody doubt the Shock? And then I get other social media managers. Oh, that's a dumb take. Everybody respects the Shock. How come? Why would you say that, Corey? And it's like, okay, then how come my coach is losing that? Why wasn't Aunts even nominated for Rookie of the Year? Why wasn't that? Why would, how come, you know? And then, but it's weird. Part of that is me being hyper competitive. I don't even consider myself an esports person as much as I do consider myself an energy SF Shock person. Like, let's be honest. If my time comes to an end with the Shock, it's not like I'm going to rebound to another team. I'm like, not, I don't know. It's that's personally just how I feel. So I have that side to me who always sees the beauty and how great the people are around me. And I know how much work goes in behind the scenes. And maybe that's what people aren't seeing. But Cressy's not just a coach. Like, He's like a Belichick. Like, he's created a system, a culture that of winning and stuff. And it's like, we wouldn't take players who are great if they're not Shock players. They have to have these certain skills and desire to win that they're scouting for that's more important than your skill in the game. And I think maybe the three-peat will be what it takes to get it. Maybe all the VGB listeners could band together and get them enough votes for this thing, but I put no stock that he's going to win this just because I've been burnt too many times. I'm voting for Krusty.
Okay. Cal, are you?
Yep. Yeah, Krusty.
Wait, I don't. Okay. Yep. You say it one more time because there is nobody from Shock.
One more time.
Nothing.
For what?
I thought he was going to say something happened? For Shock.
Something for Shock. Oh, you mean
Shock the World.
Shock the world, baby. Let's
that's
go.
Shock the doing. World.
Shock the world. You already know.
God. Okay.
Good.
So I guess I'm voting for Krusty too.
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
I don't know the
just others. Follow the crowd. Don't think for yourself. Just follow the crowd, Lexi.
Exactly.
The one time I'm gonna be a sheep, you know. Do okay. It. All right, moving along to best esport athlete. So we have Ian Chris. I don't know these
Crim
people's
Six.
Names.
Crim Six.
They're gonna be like, "Who are you?" Showmaker from League. We have Canyon from League. We have Shotzi's from Call of Duty, and we have Ziwoo from CS:GO.
Ziwoo, yeah.
Zaiwoo, y'all going for?
I don't. I'm not going to be the jumping in.
It's kind of tricky. Yeah. I don't even like the only person I know of enough. Like I've heard of Crim Six, but like I've actually seen Zaiwoo play, and the dude's literally like one of the best in the world at the game. And so I'll give it to him because he's been like otherworldly in terms of statistics and stuff. But I don't watch CS anymore. This was like as of last year, so.
Okay, I guess we're skipping that round. I'm just gonna give it to Zaiwoo, everybody.
I'm going Crim Six just because, you know, I followed Call of Duty League this last year, and after he had won, that was kind of like the one cool story is that he'd won he's won championships on multiple different teams, like two or three different teams, and he's made it all the way to the grand finals. So when you can prove that you're on a different level, so I would throw my vote to Crim Six.
Skip, I'm guessing you're gonna. I don't know which way you're gonna go.
Ain't no Shock people on this.
Nah.
Nope.
No.
Oh, next.
Okay. I respect that. So we have best debut game. So we have. I don't know how to say this, but I know this is from
Carrion
Devolver. Yes, yeah, their new like scary spooky game. Mortal Shell, Raj the Ancient Epic, Roki, and
Phasmophobia.
I
haven't heard of these.
The
only ones I've heard of is the one by Devolver, and that's the one I was going to give it to.
Oh, Phasmophobia is legit. Like, it took all of Fall Guys and Among Us's momentum on Twitch. Like, it is.
Did it really? I knew it was big.
Oh, yeah. It was bad. Really? I mean, maybe it was just for Halloween time, but, like, for September and October, especially, I don't know what's happened last month or two, but, like, for the last 2 months, it was huge. Like, a lot of the VR people are doing it. Like, because there's a VR mode, a lot of the spooky, you know, variety streamers who are like, oh, we're doing a Halloween week, we're doing Phasmophobia. Like, everyone has been playing that. It's very, like, socially.
I'm guessing you're voting for that one.
Yeah. But Carry On is pretty cool. It's a unique game, but, like, it's just not as popular as Phasmophobia.
Yep. Corey?
So hold on, wait. You mean to tell me the Shock didn't make a game?
No, we didn't. I tried.
Next.
We go next.
Great.
I'd say Phasmophobia just because I've seen a lot of friends playing it. And so if it's made my friends happy, it's made me happy.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Spread love and buy a Butterfinger.
Oh, God.
moving along to Content Creator of the Year, we have Alana Pierce.
Yes.
Jay-Ann Lopez. Nick Merckx, Tim Tam, and Valkyrie.
Tim Tam? Tim the Tatman?
That's what I call him. Tim, no, that's my nickname for him.
Put some respect on his name.
I love
it. Put some respect on his name from my little name I gave him. No, I think I'm either going to go with it. This is a hard decision because I know like three of these people or four of these people. I don't know Nick Merckx, but I know the rest of them. I'm either going to go with Jay-Ann Lopez or Valkyrie because I watch them. Respect girl power.
Those are solid choices. Honestly, when I saw this is a stacked category. I think anybody in this category deserves the win. Alana Pierce, I've met her a few times and I got to see one of her DJ sets. She was going to be our DJ, or not our DJ, our host of our live games for the Shock. So that was nice. You know, I feel like I got to show some love there. And then Tim the Tatman was converted into a Shock fan, and he was like our spokesperson, I guess, for the grand finals. And he gave us a lot of like really good shout outs and stuff. So I feel like I owe him the vote for all he did. And he's like famously lucky for jinxing sports teams. So as soon as he was our endorsement, everyone like flooded us with, oh, GG Shock. Sorry, Tim the Tatman cursed you. And then when we won, one of our first tweets was, we broke the Tim the Tatman curse. And it ended up being like bigger than our We Won the Championship tweet somehow. So
wow. The moment that I remember, that's why I'm voting for Tim, is the what happened with him losing so many games of Fall Guys in a row. It became like trending on Twitter. The Fall Guys Twitter was like following along. Because he legit lost, like when he finally won, it was such like a monumental moment. So I don't know. I don't watch too much like of these content creators, but like that was the closest of anything I've watched.
Shout out to Alana Pierce too, who just got a job working for
Santa Monica Studio. Yeah,
yeah, as a writer. So I guess she's got like a degree in writing, and she's gonna be writing for video games now, which is pretty sick.
Yeah, I've always wondered, like, is she like writing on behalf of the company or like writing in the games? I've always wondered, like, which one of the two could it be? Because she's got.
I think it's in the game. I think it's in the game.
That'd be sick. Yeah, I hope that's what that is, because that's such a sick job to have.
Yeah, for God of War, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what they make. I think the
So very valid choice.
Yep.
I'm going to have to go with my future ex-wife, Alana Pierce. I mean, she almost worked for the Shock. She almost shocked the world. She was this close. She could always
Somebody give some rings, y'all. Give some rings.
Yeah. Shout out to Butterfinger, by the way, too, because it's almost been about 3 minutes and we ain't mentioned him yet. Got to keep the quota.
Got to keep the quota coming. There you go. Okay, on that note, we're going to move to multiplayer games. So the best multiplayer games category has Animal Crossing, Among Us, Call of Duty, Fall Guys, and Valorant. Which one are you guys voting for?
I'm gonna jump in on this one.
Yeah, I don't want to go first.
I got this one. I'm gonna say Animal Crossing.
Why?
Whoa. Sleeper.
Well, it's a multiplayer game, Curtis.
Why?
Can the man speak?
Don't multiple people play it at the same time? Right? I'm
with you.
My hands. I'm Ricky Bobby now.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with my
hands. You're right. You're right. You can go to other people's islands. You technically can multiplay together.
That's not why I said why, because there's other games on this list. Like
other games, smother games.
All
those games don't matter.
If the other games didn't come out this year, I would have went with you for Animal Crossing. But because Fall Guys and Among Us are like huge and Valorant, like that's huge. I'm gonna vote for Among Us because it's so simple, easy matches, so fun. That's why. So quick, easy, fun.
Where are you going,
like
Kyle?
Animal Crossing, where you have to build your stuff like Sims. If I want to play Sims or Animal Crossing, I need like a day for that. Like Among Us, I could just jump on and do this.
Yeah,
but Animal Crossing's way cuter, so you know.
True.
Where are you going with this one, Kyle?
I don't know. Like, I feel like in terms of like as a multiplayer game, like that's what it is. I feel like either Among Us or Fall Guys should get it because they were easily both like the two biggest like standout games. But the problem is they both like kind of blew up and then fizzled out pretty quick. Like, I don't know how many people are still playing Fall Guys or still playing Among Us. I don't know how popular it is still. My heart says Valorant, but like that's just like me kind of making a biased pick. So I feel like it should go to Among Us just for like the support the indies and like keep bringing up indies and you know, keep recognizing that it was a universally great game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was going between Among Us and Fall Guys, but I feel like Among Us eclipsed Fall Guys within a month, and Among Us is still really popular on YouTube. Like, it is one of the most watched things on YouTube for VODs and stuff.
It's just endless content.
Yeah, it's got that Fortnite crowd into it. It's got older folks into it. Man, it's really a game that kind of brought everybody in together in true multiplayer fashion. So I got to give it to that one.
Speaking of Among Us, we still need to play. Anyways, moving along to best sports / racing category of games. We have Dirt 5, F1 2020, FIFA 21, NBA 2K21, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2.
Let's let Lexi go first on this one. Which one are you going to go for, Lexi? 2K Lexi?
Because Lexi 2K? I... have association with a place called 2K. I'm voting for NBA 2K.
Oh, earth shattering. Who would have guessed? Let's go to Skip next. Let's see Skip in his Kingsguard NBA 2K jersey repping Worthington Colt, who liked the tweet when we did our go live, by the way, because you guys are boys. Which one are you voting for, Skip?
Despite how I feel about the retail version of the game, I have to go with NBA 2K. The excitement, especially when we didn't have basketball for a while, and that was all the basketball that I could get. They turned it into all the basketball that I could need. My main man, Scott Cole, breaking down the play-by-play, and then my man who almost made it into the league, who I wanted in the league so bad, and I wanted on our team as a center. I'm thinking of his real name, Jamie Diaz, and I'm forgetting the name that his gamer tag that he goes by. Those two men, they just make it so fun. It was so incredible. Seeing it happen remote, watching how they did it. We got more games out of it because it was remote. It was just incredible, man. It was a great time. So regardless of how I feel about the retail version of the game, seeing the best of the best go at it, like coming across so many different like games and close moments and clutch shots, like no boosts, no cheese, none of that, just straight going up against each other. NBA 2K was an incredible, incredible watch this season. So I really enjoyed it. That's it. Shock the world, oh baby. Shock the world.
Yeah.
And Butterfingers too.
Shock the world. Yes, yes. Maybe one day you guys will have a 2K team.
See,
you never say never.
What about you, Corey, Kyle?
I'm gonna split away from the pack on this one and go with my Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 remake, because here I am doing everything I can pretending I'm a Superman. That song alone gives them the edge for me. I think, I sunk tons of hours into it. It was extremely well done. It didn't feel just like a remaster. Like, it felt like a retelling of a tale. Jack Black is in it. Like, I don't know. I'm going with that one just because I had so much fun with it personally.
Bro, skate or die, skate for life. I've always been a skater. That's literally, yeah, Tony Hawk wins it. It's like, and especially like too, Tony like, Hawk. As a remake, it does, it's like setting the standard for how you should do it. You don't just like, okay, well, let's just undown-res the graphics. Like, no, you, like, they repainted everything, redesigned levels, rechanged the mechanics of it. Like, that's what they needed to do.
They
threw a
new track. They were bold enough to take what was, like, many people saw was the best part of it, the soundtrack, and threw in a bunch of new music, too. Like, they doubled down and proved, in my opinion, that they can do it again. Like, whoever curated the playlist... Like, I expected hating all the new tracks, and they're good. Like, they slap. And maybe it's the game itself, like, just subliminally they sneak into your head. But, yeah, no, it was amazing.
Okay, well, we're on my side on that one, and I needed you to be.
Oh.
Hurt my heart.
All that said, I'm actually voting for 2K. I will screenshot and share. I'm voting. All that said, I'm voting for 2K.
Okay, moving along to the best sim / strategy, have Crusader Kings 3, have Desperados 3, Gears Tactics, Microsoft Flight Simulator, and XCOM Chimera Squad.
Oh yeah, one of those is a 2K game, isn't it?
Because, you know, your girl in 2K.
You know, I just enjoy the social media and content strategy of 2K's social presence. That I, based off that alone, I feel like I trust this game. So I'm gonna vote for XCOM.
It's hype.
Yeah,
it's hype.
Chimera.
You should play it.
It is. Yeah. No, I bet.
I think it's got to go to Crusader Kings, because I've watched a lot of content of someone who plays Crusader Kings, and it's just an absolutely hilarious game. It's just a wacky game. But Flight Sim's kind of cool too, but like, I gotta give it to CK3. But, you know, credit where credit is due to XCOM, you know? Great PR presence, it's gotta be said.
Yeah, their social media is definitely...
I can't really speak too much about the gameplay itself.
Curtis?
We ain't shocking the world. Next.
Wait a minute. If you're not voting for nobody, you better vote for XCOM.
XCOM.
You're not about that, Aunt Life.
XCOM.
XCOM. Two-time world champion Corey Vincent.
2K Butterfingers. Shock next. If we can.
Next.
Oh, man. All right. Moving along to best family games, we have Animal Crossing, we have Crash Bandicoot, Fall Guys, Mario Kart Live, Minecraft Dungeons, and Paper Mario. Which one are you guys going for?
So I believe this is one where we have no vested interests, right? Did we finally reach one?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we're good.
Unfiltered choices. Animal Crossing is not a family game. It's meant for older people. Crash Bandicoot's meant for boomers. Fall Guys, again, I don't see people, like, entire families sitting down and playing this game. Mario Kart Live, what even is that? Paper Mario, same thing. It's for older people trying to relive the past. Minecraft Dungeons is the one that I know every single, like, young kid, nephew that I have was obsessed about this game, so I'm going with Minecraft Dungeons. I think that's the only truly, like, family game in the pack.
True. Agree.
So, I think the problem is, like, we're thinking right now, but, like, I say think back to, like, March, April, when like we were all in absolute like panic, like no one knew what was happening. Everyone was freaking out. We're all not used to it. And like what happened right around March when like everyone got shut down, like, okay, well, let's just this Animal Crossing game. Everyone I knew played Animal Crossing. My sister and my wife were talking every day about it. They would hop in a Discord chat and talk about what their thing is going. Like, all their friends got into it. They'd check out each other's islands. Like, everyone was, like, bonding. Like, we couldn't bond in real life. They were bonding over this game. And I think because of that, it's a family-friendly game. Like, obviously, you're looking through the lens of, like, what are the kids like? I'm like, this is a game that anyone can play. But I think it did more for people this year than I think any of the other games have. Like, it was at the perfect time, and it was the perfect platform for everyone to feel like they still had friends they could go hang out with. Damn, just on their island.
I gotta change my vote now.
And that is why I'm gonna vote for Animal Crossing. Oh, I'm with you on that one.
All right, canceled my vote, and I moved it over to Animal Crossing. That was beautiful. I got a tear in my
eye. Yeah, that was beautiful. Beautiful as a Butterfinger. Skip.
Shock the world.
Okay. Well, you got
Butterfingers.
You got two Nintendo games in here. I don't know what you're going to do with yourself.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing. Okay. Oh, wait, there's three. This is like built for
Nintendo.
Mario.
Yeah, Paper Mario and Mario Live, too. Yeah. Mario Live is, I mean, from everything that I've seen from it, it actually looks pretty cool and really fun. Yeah. I mean, and like it works relatively well. And I applaud Nintendo for sticking with the AR thing where, you know, when they didn't get so far with the DS, but, you know, kind of bringing it along still. Yeah, I'll go with Mario Kart Live. Like, it really did look really, really fun. I don't know how invested I am in, like, doing all the setup and everything. It's one of those things that, like, Christmas Day, that's a banger. If you got kids and you get Mario Live and you set it up, you're blowing your kid's mind. You're the cool dad once again. If you weren't at that time, I'm always cool dad, so I don't really worry about that.
True that.
Real quick, Butterfinger has to go. So,
bye, Butterfinger.
Thank you, Butterfinger. For
you've done for us.
Yeah,
my DMs are open to y'all.
You better not lay a finger on my Butterfinger.
The BFFs, Butterfinger best friends forever.
That's right.
Butterfingers forever. Thank you guys for stopping by and watching us.
We could run through. Okay. I say we got a lot of categories left, and this show's already gone long. So I think we just let's start speed running this thing. Let's see what we got. So you read the categories, and we'll go round robin, and we just say the name of the game.
Sure. We're going for. Yep. We have best fighting game, Street Fighter, One Punch Man. Do you guys have this pulled up? Where you can just
Mortal Kombat's the only one I really care about. I've never played a single one of these. I don't care about fighting games, but Mortal Kombat 6.
Going for Street Fighter. That's my vote.
I'm going Street Fighter 2.
Yep.
Combat.
Okay. We have best role playing game. We have Yakuza, Wasteland. You guys have this up too.
Oh, yeah.
Final Fantasy. Persona. I'm going for Yakuza.
Yakuza. Yeah, me too.
Yakuza.
I'm going Wasteland. I played
Yakuza.
Next one we got is Best Action Adventure, Assassin's Creed God Valhalla, Ghost of Tsushima, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Star Wars Jedi the Fallen Order, and The Last of Us Part Deux.
I go Last of Us.
I'm surprised that Spider-Man's on here, so I'm going with that because it just looks beautiful.
How can you put Spider-Man on here? The game's been out for 24 hours. Like, didn't this game just come out?
It looks beautiful, and I watched a few streamers stream it from the beginning, and I mean, it was beautiful. Like, the story, like, looks great. So,
okay, Skip.
Miles.
Yeah, I am too.
It looks good.
As much as I'm trying to hate, like, it's going to be a good game. Like, it's a banger. It's the only reason I'm spending $600 to play this damn game. So it's the least it can do is get my vote. The next one was Best Action Game, Doom Eternal, Hades, Half-Life Alyx, Nioh 2, and Streets of Rage 4, the remake. Skip, what are you going for?
Doom Eternal.
Doom. Kyle.
Doom.
Two for Doom. What are we? Are we going with the triple? What are you thinking, Lexi?
Doom.
Doom? I'm going to go for Doom 2 just to complete the hat trick, baby. Boom. We all agree on something. That's great. All right. Doom Eternal. Innovation and accessibility, which has become a huge topic in 2020, accessibility. So this is going to be one that gets a lot of eyeballs on it. I couldn't tell you why these get this besides one of them, but we have Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Grounded, Hyperdot, The Last of Us Part 2, and Watch Dogs Legion.
Real quick. Last of Us, I watched a video of someone who can literally play like entirely blind because they have so much attention to sound cues and cool stuff like that. That's why I'm going for him.
Okay. Lexi?
I'm thinking about going for Grounded. I watched like a couple of videos of that. It just looks really good, and I think it fits this category.
Skip?
Anything to do with making games more accessible for people to play, especially people with any kind of disability, I say all of them win.
Yeah.
Yo. Judette.
Yeah, I don't know the beginnings and ends of how much work they put into it. I remember we covered a story on Grounded saying that they, you know, it's a game about bugs and spiders, and they made it where you can make the spiders like less scary or something. And we memed it. I memed it at the time of like, what a joke. Like, it's a game about spiders. Maybe this game isn't for you if you don't like spiders. But damn, Skip. Again, made me cry there. It's true. You can't really hate on a game that's goal is making more people able to play it. All that said, I'll vote for The Last of Us because Kyle won me over with it.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
You can play it without looking at it. That's pretty damn cool. All right. Best VR AR game, Dreams, Half-Life Alyx, Marvel's Iron Man VR, Star Wars Squadrons, or The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners. Me neither.
I'm torn between Marvel for Iron Man and Star Wars because I just think that would be bad A to play on VR. But I don't have a VR, so.
I think it's got to go to Half-Life, though. Because, like, it was, like, the only good VR, like, the true VR game. Like, Star Wars is so sick. But, like, Half-Life was, like, the first, like, major leap for VR, I think.
Skip.
Did someone say Iron Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Iron Man.
There we go. And next. The next one we got is Best Community Support. Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Fall Guys, Fortnite, No Man's Sky, or Valorant.
100% Fall Guys. Okay. Last year it was Fortnite. This year it's Fall Guys. Their community and their community manager is just off the charts.
It's true. They blew everyone away on Twitter. Kyle.
No Man's Sky, bro. That they flipped it around. They've earned my respect for doing what they did, for taking the game that everyone hated and left at to now it's like well respected because
I
love it.
I get where you're coming from, but I hate that when people get praised for fixing something that they screwed up so massively. It's like you wouldn't have had to fix it if you did it right the first time, you knuckleheads.
That's true. That's true.
Skip, where are you going?
I just heard a bunch of words. What was that?
Skip's voting for the San Francisco Shock on this one. I'm gonna vote.
Shock the world, baby. Shock the world.
I'm gonna give it to Fall Guys. Yeah, no, not even Destiny because.
Oh.
Yeah, no, Fall Guys. That's fair. Best mobile game: Among Us, Call of Duty Mobile, Genshin Impact, Legends of Runeterra, Pokemon Cafe Mix, and Raid Shadow Legends. That's not in there.
It's not even on there.
How sad. They put in $1 billion in marketing and couldn't even get nominated for this award. Skip, which one do you want? Which one do you like for mobile
games?
Pokemon. Skip says Pokemon. Where were you going, Lexi?
Among Us 100%, but Legends of Runeterra is really fun. Just saying.
Yeah, but he came out during a bad year. He shouldn't have came out the same year Among Us did. Kyle, what about you?
Among Us.
I'll round out that one. Best indie game, Carry On, or Chiron, whatever we want to call it. Fall Guys, Hades, Spelunky 2, or Spiritfarer? Kyle, this seems like a category.
I'm going Hades,
you know about.
Bro. It's such a good game.
Okay.
Hades has got to take it.
Skip, any love for the indies? Are these indies?
Carry on?
Yep.
Carry on luggage?
Yep.
Let's do it.
Lexi.
I'm going with Fall Guys.
I'll join you on Fall Guys. I thought that was
so because they had a good year.
Yeah, just... huge win for Devolver in my opinion. Good job. Best ongoing game: Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Call of Duty, Fortnite, or No Man's Sky. Lexi,
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky. Okay.
I'm gonna go with Apex, surprisingly, because I have a lot of friends that have been playing that and they love it, and I've watched a few streams doing it. They love that stuff, so I'm going with Apex. It's rising.
Kyle,
Apex. I've been playing that lately. It's a good game.
This one I'll give to Destiny too. I'm impressed with how long they've been able to keep the longevity, and disappointed in myself for sleeping on the game for so long. Next category: games for impact. If found, Kentucky Route Zero, Spiritfarer, Tell Me Why, or Through the Darkness of Times. Kyle, this seems like
Tell Me Why, because I like the title.
I like that one too.
I've heard of Tell Me Why as well, so I think, yeah, sure. I wish I knew more of these, but I don't.
Tell Me Why. Let's jump up to best score in music: Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy the Remake, Hades, Ori and the Will of the Wisp, or The Last of Us Part Two.
Doom.
Doom.
Ori.
Ori. Okay. I like it. I'm going with Doom for the metal.
Yeah, Doom.
Let's see. And let's drop up to the main one. Game of the year. Game of the year, VGB. This is the one that has all the marbles. Doom Eternal. Final Fantasy the Remake, which is a bummer when a remake makes it into Game of the Year. I just want to say that. Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, Animal Crossing New Horizons, and The Last of Us Part 2.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Good. Yeah, that's a really good thing.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. I need to play it.
It's really, it really feels like the only game of the year quality one on this list. So I'm going to echo your thoughts on that one, Skip.
Same.
Kyle?
I played more Last of Us than I have Ghost of Tsushima, so I gotta go Last of Us. That game made me cry at least twice.
What a bummer. This should have been Cyberpunk. This should have been Cyberpunk's category if it came out 6 months ago like it was supposed to. Weird. I think probably in the hindsight, Miles Morales probably will deserve this more than the other games.
It's just timing.
But just timing. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to the show this week. Thanks for my man Skip for hosting, getting us through again. Thanks for Lexi bringing us our new sponsor, apparently, in Butterfinger. And thanks for Kyle for touching my heart with that very, very great, redeeming himself from last week when he disrespected Stevie Nicks with making us cry this week with his take. So appreciate everyone listening. If you listen to the podcast, you want to watch us live on twitch.tv/videogame_bang. And inversely, if you're watching the stream and want to catch up on past episodes, we have an iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to the show. But now it's time for plugs, my favorite part of the show. Skip, what you plugging?
Nothing. I ain't been streaming still. Nothing. I'll see y'all next week. Video game bang.
I respect it, man. What's up, Lexi? What are you plugging right now? Besides Butterfinger. Please, no more Butterfinger.
Beside my BFF with Butterfinger? So I was going to stream tonight. I don't know if it's too late or not. We'll see how I feel after
never
this.
Too late.
If not today, maybe tomorrow. But I have a friend coming in town, so we'll see. Okay. But my stream is xspacementix, so we'll see from there when I stream. And my Twitter is LexiJPR. So yeah. And also, shout out to Butterfinger. Thank you for joining the stream.
We all better get the fattest case of Butterfinger. I've never shilled for a company harder that I didn't personally have stake in than Butterfinger. Kyle, what you promoting, man?
Nothing right now. Actually, you know what? Hold on. No, if you play Fallout, check out Sim Settlements 2. I might be helping them out with some stuff. You might be expecting me on the next version of it. So if you like to mod Fallout, hit up Sim Settlements 2. It's good, and I might
What is it? What does it do?
It's like it's like with the settlements, except it makes it more like Sim City, where you can like you can set plots up, and it's a better like ecosystem for things, and it adds cool storyline stuff, and. Okay. It's super simulator-y more, which is cool.
Sweet. And I got nothing to plug besides good times. Let the good times roll, baby. GG, EZ. Thank you guys for listening. For Lexi, Skip, Kyle the winner, my name is Corey saying, you've just been banged.